This is Chanel Bunger with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Andrea Lee Lena, partner at McGuire Woods. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Andrea, can you take a moment and introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a partner in McGuire Woods Healthcare Department in our Chicago office, and I co-lead our digital health technology and innovation subgroup. So through that, I work with digital health companies on mergers and acquisitions, regulatory compliance, private equity transactions, HIPAA, et cetera. So excited to talk to your audience today.
Thanks for that introduction. So, what are some of the key trends that you're following today?
Yeah, so one of the key issues is a new report that's out from the OIG about Medicare telehealth services and program integrity risk, which is really like fraud and abuse risk. So this is an important report for any provider that bills for telehealth services, and it highlights why these companies need compliance programs. They need to be doing internal audits and staying on top of billing requirements for telehealth. Now that the pandemic is hopefully, starting to, reduce in severity, maybe we could say, we're starting to see more scrutiny on telehealth providers. So basically, what this report said is that out of the 700,000 providers that have billed for telehealth services in that first year of the pandemic, so starting in March 2020, around 1,700 of those providers posed a really high risk to Medicare by billing for telehealth services that were probably medically unnecessary. And so what the OIG did was they had these seven factors, and they looked at providers that met one of these seven factors. So some of these included billing for the telehealth service and a facility fee, billing telehealth services at the highest, most expensive level every single time, billing for a lot high number of telehealth visits every day, billing a high average number of the amount of time they spend with a patient, for example, or prescribing or ordering medical equipment, DME for a large proportion of those individuals that they saw over telehealth. So really these factors are pretty egregious. So the 1,700 providers that were identified in this audit, having one of these seven factors is pretty significant because these indicate more than just mistakes, probably. These really indicate a pattern of inappropriate billing. So even though that 1,700 number out of the 700,000 providers seems pretty small, it's still notable because the factors that they looked at are pretty egregious. And so this goes back to the OIG, right since the beginning of the pandemic. Really, everyone's been calling for we need to expand telehealth, we need to keep it around post-pandemic. And while we're certainly seeing it being expanded and a lot of permanent policies being put in place, the OIG has always said, hey, there's fraud and abuse risk here, and so we're not willing to open the floodgates of all telehealth services. And there hasn't really been a lot of data behind that. So this report, unfortunately, supports what the OIG has been saying, is that there is risk. And some providers are not appropriately billing. So, for example, out of those 1,700 providers, around 1,000 were in the same medical practice. So with one other person that was identified in the 1,700 providers, which is really interesting. That indicates that these practices, physician practices, have this these practices across many providers. So that's really interesting. And then there's another 700 providers that were billing for both the facility fee and the technical fee, meaning they were essentially billing twice. So you see a high number of providers that are of these 1,700 that are kind of doing the same thing, So that's interesting. Again, as I said at the beginning, this really highlights that we need to make sure that providers have compliance programs, that they're auditing. I would note that this report is from the first year of the pandemic, starting in March 2020. So you can imagine that telehealth services that were being billed in March 2020, that's a lot. This was new for everyone. So you could potentially say, yes, there's some problematic activities during that first year, but how much of this was the first couple of months, right, where everyone was just scrambling? And so, interesting report, something for all providers to be paying attention to as we anticipate additional scrutiny after the pandemic.
Thank you. We'll continue to keep an eye out on that. Are there any other trends that you're currently watching?
Just a couple other cases, and this goes back to what I was just talking about, are recent examples of settlements or cases against telehealth providers. Some are really egregious, others are not. For example, Sanford Health, they are part of a corporate integrity agreement, so they're very closely monitored, from what I understand. And they had some inappropriate telehealth services, a very small amount, $25,000, that they repaid. So again, something where healthcare providers, healthcare systems may have very small examples of things that need to be repaid, very understandable. There's other examples where there's been cases against telehealth companies soliciting patients for an inappropriate genetic testing at no cost to them. There was another case brought against a Georgia nurse practitioner. She was ordered to pay $1.6 million and is going to go to prison over inappropriately prescribing braces for individuals, particularly Medicare populations, which are older individuals and the disabled. For example, she ordered a knee brace for an individual that had their leg amputated many years ago. So just really inappropriate billing. And so some of this is to highlight that this is a huge spectrum, right? You've got companies that, you know, this is a legitimate small mistake. Billing for telehealth services is very complex. It's difficult to do, especially right at the beginning of the pandemic. So there may be examples of some overpayments that have to be repaid. And then you've got the other side of the spectrum, which is really egregious fraud, right? So I think the majority fall in the side of the spectrum that, hey, these are errors. They need to be discovered through internal audits and they need to be repaid. But it's just a good reminder that the government is looking at these issues, and they will continue after the pandemic is over and in the near future.
Thank you for all those insights, Andrea. I also want to thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.